Ryan had stopped off to tell Christy about the attack and the death, asking her to pass the news on to the others in their own rooms while he went to Tomlin's quarters. The professor was reading through an old illustrated book on oceanic mammals, still wearing his white lab coat. The image, for a moment, made Ryan think about the odd and brief conversation he'd had with the Indian. He'd been asked if he was an outlander, or whether he came from the White Coat Place. Ryan accepted a small glass of a sweet, fiery liqueur from Tomlin.
I hope you enjoy the liqueur, Ryan. It is an old, old vintage offered to me, oddly enough, by one of those Seminole rogues who said he found it in the ruins of a house near a park in Miami.
It's good.
Indeed. The label revealed that it was called Benedictine. Another glass?
Thanks, but no.
When it's gone, Ryan, it's gone. I seriously doubt that there is another bottle left in all of the Deathlands. Perhaps in all of the Terra Cognita, the known world. Are you certain? Take what comes when it comes. That has always been my motto.
You get attacked very often by Indians?
No. These waters are not much traveled. Both the Gulf of Mexico to the west and the ocean to the east of us are dangerous to the unwary. Even before the nuclear holocaust devastated the planet, there were frequent hurricanes and inexplicable vanishings from the maritime ledgers. Since then, there have also been undersea quakes and giant tsunamis and boiling eruptions of mud, volcanoes 10,000 feet deep, parlous places and parlous times. But there is likewise a wind on the heath, friend Cawdor. Who would wish to die?
The liqueur seemed to have raced to the scientist's head, and he lay back and smiled at the ceiling.
I'm going to my room. Thanks for the drink. I'll see you in the morning.
You know that there is a myth that dolphins were once humanoid and dwelled with mankind in great cities. The rumored lost continent of Atlantis.
Yeah, so I heard. You believe that?
Of course I do, of course. Now, we must get you back to your room. I'll send out a search party tomorrow morning.
He stood and clasped Ryan by the hand with a surprisingly hard grip.
Now, nobles all, come, let's away, to try the fortunes of some happier day.
Ryan was starting to wonder if the man was entirely sane. 2 evenings after the death of the marauding Seminole, Mark Tomlin threw a beach party.
Let us remove the sour and bitter taste of what happened here recently.
There were 4 large bonfires, crackling and flaming, sending fountains of red and orange sparks 200 feet into the night air. The workers in the institute had also built a grand barbecue, cooking on iron grids over a trench of glowing coals. The mixed smell of wood, fish, and meat flooded the senses. Beef and horse meat ground up into circular patties, bringing a gasp of delight from Mildred.
Oh, my sweet lord! Real burgers! Best food I've seen since you dragged me awake into this godforsaken place. I'll have a double cheese and chicken burger with all of the trimmings, but go easy on the relish. Brings me out in a rash.
Dean stuffed himself with charbroiled swordfish steaks and fried potatoes, topping the whole thing off with a foaming beaker of ice-cold orange-flavored milk. He grinned happily across at his father.
This is great, Dad. I reckon I...
The boy's face, ruddy in the reflected flames of the fire, suddenly paled, and he staggered a few steps into the shadows of a nearby palm. Christy was at his shoulder.
Want to go back to your room and lie down a while?
No. I think all that food's come back looking just like it did when I ate it first. Hardly seems to have been changed inside me. Makes me feel hungry all over again.
A couple of minutes later, he was tucking into a plate loaded with swordfish steaks and fried potatoes, gulping down another mug of the orange milk drink.
I'm getting too old for all this.
Want to go somewhere quiet?
Why not?
Christy led Ryan by the hand into a patch of deep shadow beneath the tumbled ruins of a profoundly old concrete building. She sat and tucked him down beside her.
How much longer, lover?
To stay here?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you like it?
I've seen lots worse. What do you think about it, Christy?
I've still got this feeling I don't understand. Like looking at a handsome man, but seeing a grinning skull under the skin. I can't explain it. And there's not any hard evidence for feeling that way. They've all been kind to us.
Towson's promised us a fishing expedition tomorrow that we'll remember all our lives.
Yeah?
She lay back, looking at the stars.
Listen, lover. If there was intelligent life up there in the stars, and they developed a really powerful sort of telescope, they could look down here and eventually see the nuking of Dark Knight.
No. Why eventually? Why not now? Even if they could see this far.
Christy sat up again, elbows on knees, her chin in her hands.
It's all to do with the speed of light, lover. Uncle Tyus McCann explained it to me once back in Harmony. It would take about 150 years before images from Earth reached them out there. That's what he said.
Who cares?
During the time that Christy had been with Brian Cotter, she'd got to know his many moods. In the early days, there'd been a paralyzing cold. Now he was happier. No, that would never quite be the right word for Ryan. Perhaps contented came closer to the kernel of it. But Christy still had a bleak terror, something that came crawling unbidden into her mind at 3 in the morning, when breath is slowest and the elderly and infirm let slip their frail hold on life. The fear that one day she'd wake up and find him gone. The fear that the specters that still haunted the distant corridors of his memory would one day come muttering out of the gray shadows and take him away from her.
I care. I care about you, Dean, and the others. Are you telling me that you don't care, Ryan?
Ryan didn't answer, and Christy felt something horribly close to panic. Away on the horizon, she saw a streak of purple lightning as yet another chunk of deep space detritus met its final rendezvous with its home planet.
Ryan.
Sorry. I was 1,000 miles behind. Of course I care. I'd be deader than a felled tree if I didn't. But there's just times I wonder about it.
What, lover?
Come on. Think Dean'll have puked and eaten again by the time we get back there?
Doc told me that some old ville, Rome, used to have rooms where you used to go upchuck during a meal. Not after. Right in the middle. Then you'd be like Dean and go stuff yourself again.
Looks to me like some of the old times weren't really any better than the now times.
Who knows? All we know about the past is only a small bite out of what it must have been like. Anyway, I feel tired. I'm ready for bed.
Yeah, me too. We'll get ourselves ready for this fishing expedition that Professor Tomlin claims is going to be so memorable.
They walk together, feet sliding through the soft sand, toward the distant block of buildings. Unseen by Ryan and Christy, a young bottlenose dolphin tracked them, parallel to the beach.
I'm beginning to find all this endless meteorological perfection just a little tedious. My heart weeps for a November morning in Vermont, with drizzling rain and clouds that cling dripping to the topmost branches of the dank conifers. Well, perhaps I can wait until tomorrow for that.
Michael was standing by Doc in the doorway of their building, staring out over the strip of scrub, past the beach toward the dock.
We should be pushing off straight after we've had breakfast.
Are you coming in the big boat with us?
Yes. Miranda asked me if I wanted to go along with her.
Watch she doesn't try and push you over the side and hold you under!
Dean poked Michael in the ribs and scampered past him into the bright morning sunshine. Ryan and Christy joined the others.
I haven't been fishing for sport in a long, long while. Most times I fished for food, I wasn't that great at it.
I have the happiest memories of trolling the wild white rivers of Oregon with my dear wife Emily, camping beneath the stars and eating over an open fire. Truth to tell, Emily was not the finest outdoors woman, and found an iron skillet over a beach fire was not conducive to producing a cordon bleu repast.
Burnt offering, huh, Doc?
I could not have put it better myself, Mildred.
Here they come.
It's a perfect day, my friends. Let us get afloat. To the boats! To the boats!
He pointed the way with a long, steel-pointed gaff. There were 8 or 9 members of the Institute with him, all wearing casual clothes. Miranda Thorson had on the skimpiest pair of shorts that Ryan had ever seen. From the front, they looked like a tiny kerchief, and from the back, there was just a narrow strip of material that almost vanished into the cleft between her buttocks. She and Michael walked close together, apart from the rest of the party.
Where do you get the gas from?
JB had jammed his fedora low on his head to avoid the risk of losing it over the side of the speeding boat. Tomlin was at the helm, standing up, the wind peeling his grin of delight even wider. A white bone foamed under the prow of the 18-footer, their wake